Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for this new day that you have made. Thank you that we could gather in community and be around friends, to be able to sit just for a moment, to receive and to encounter you through song, through scripture, through our friends that are around us, and through meeting new friends. We offer this time up to you, O God, and may the words from my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My daughter Emma is 3 now, so that means she's now officially beyond being a toddler. She's officially a preschooler, so she's 3 and a half. She's at that age where she constantly wants to participate and be a part of every single activity. I'm walking up the stairs at home. She's walking up right behind me. I sit down and drink a glass of water. She wants to sit down next to me and drink a glass of water. But there's something that I noticed these last couple of weeks. I noticed that she also wants to participate in doing chores, believe it or not. I said, okay, let's do this. For me, my main areas of chores around the house are in the kitchen, washing dishes, vacuuming, and doing part of the laundry. Not the folding, but part of it, putting in the washer and dryer. But I noticed myself getting frustrated as Emma wanted to follow me in helping me and participating with me in the chores. I don't know if you can imagine, if you think back when your kids were at that age where they wanted to participate and do everything that you wanted to do. But you know, when life gets extremely busy, you just want to get things done. So I felt, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes kids just slow us down, right? They slow us down. She wouldn't wash the dishes properly. It would end up taking longer to like hold her hand to try to wash the dishes. And I found myself having to do everything over again. I don't know if you could relate to that. I would end up being late for an appointment. Long story short, when she wanted to help wash the dishes, I got really frustrated. And I said, no. I told her not to help. I told her just to play. I brushed her off, just play. And she was so hurt by it, angry, and threw a tantrum. And my heart broke at that time. But I'm noticing that my heart is becoming more callous, where I'm just kind of, all right. But the thing is that caught my attention is that I didn't let her participate. That's the word. I didn't allow her to participate. I said no to her desire to participate and be involved. As a pastor, I love it when I see others participating in worship. For me, it's even more special to witness children, youth, who are not only participating in worship, but leading us in worship. Because what we do here in worship, when we sing, when we pray, when we say the prayers that are projected, when we listen to opening prayers, when we sing songs, even if we're not familiar with them, that's all the work of spiritual formation, the work that forms us. And the children and youth are participating in this important work of formation as we witnessed this morning. We watched, we listened to them lead. Prayers, call to worship, and even in song and dance. And I'm just moved to say, praise be to God. Amen? Praise be to God for our children. Today, as we lift up, celebrate, and recognize the work and ministry of our dear church school leaders and BYG advisors, I'm reminded of my own church school or Sunday school experiences as a child. I grew up in United Methodist Church, just a few minutes drive south here on Beacon Hill. My parents were super busy, worked multiple jobs, ran a business, were active in the work of community service and engagement in the Filipino community. And overall, as kids, we didn't get into that much trouble, right? We didn't get into that much trouble. But they did their best, taking me and my brothers and my sister to church school, to Sunday school, to be a part of the youth group gatherings and fellowship, where we could be around other youth and where we could connect and relate to other youth who are going through the exact same things or similar things that we were going through. But when I look back even more, I think about, okay, who were my teachers that were standing up here? Who were my teachers as I grew up? And I pose that question to you. Who were the spiritual formational people in your life when you were a young person? And for me, there's a few people that come to mind when I think of my church school. I remember Auntie Letty. My cousin's chuckling here. She was one to always keep strict attendance with every single student in class. And then when you came back the next week, she lets you have it. Hey, where were you last Sunday? She called me out. I remember her having Bible quizzes. Oh my gosh, Bible quizzes for a class. Combination of multiple choice tests. Do you believe that? As well as oral tests of memorizing scripture. She'd call each student up one by one saying, okay, your turn. What's the verse? It seems she was more interested in our memorization ability than really understanding. But as I look at it now, what she really wanted for the children was to discover God through biblical narratives and stories. She was passionate about the Bible and passionate about scripture. And I've come to really appreciate her for that. And then as I moved on from early elementary school, I remember Pastor Ruth. She was my Sunday school teacher. She's really different from Auntie Letty. For Pastor Ruth, it wasn't about memorization. It wasn't about quoting the stories or quizzes. But it was more about being curious about things, asking questions, trying to get us curious about what the story says and making us wonder what it really means. And she put us in an environment where she said, it's okay to ask any questions. But I also remember it was her continual reminders that God loves us. And that the God that we worship and that God that we're seeking to understand and learn about is full of grace, unending forgiveness. That no matter what we do, no matter what we've done, how badly we may have behaved, that there's this unmerited favor, grace, that God is always around and at work around us. And then I moved to my youth days when I was in high school, my youth group leaders. Who were the formational people that were there? And then it was actually a trio of them. a couple of my cousins, Josie, Cindy, and Jay. And what they did was they made youth group fun, believe it or not. They made youth group fun. They made me want to go to youth group. But not only that, it was their ministry of presence. They're present for my school activities, for basketball games, for choir performances, musical performances. My youth leaders were there, present, cheering me on. So again, who are the people in our lives as we reflect back? Who are the people that formed us, who journeyed and walked with us? And even if you didn't grow up, many of us have so many diverse backgrounds, even if you didn't grow up attending Sunday school, who are those people in your life this very day who believed in you, encouraged you to explore your faith and explore the meaning of what it means to be a follower of Christ? As I shared about people who played a role in my life, and as we think about together others who have played a role in our lives, I'm reminded of a couple of things. First is that church school teachers, our BYG leaders, and the church in general play such an important role in the formation of young people. Play such an important role of encouraging and pushing us to love God and to love others better. And second, I'm reminded that as a parent now, with kids in church school, it's the realization as a parent that no one has more potential to influence my children than me and Sarah, that we all have a responsibility for our children. My hope in this message is really about families and parents. That as we think about and celebrate church school teachers, BYG leaders, that we would think about the community that's necessary, the circle that we need to open up and widen, for the people that we need to invite to invest in our children's lives, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, our nephews, our nieces, that we would open ourselves up. I know that many of us, I know for me, sometimes we say, I'm there at church. You know, I'm bringing my kids. You know, we're going to church school. But my hope is that we would open ourselves up to more influence within the community, church community, to have other voices that will help shape and determine the direction of our children's lives, that we would prioritize and take and encourage our children to attend church school and BYG on a consistent basis, to be nurtured and cared for by our church school teachers and BYG advisors, and to have fun as they discover more about God. Today's passage is descriptive. Our senses move around as we visualize the scene. We could even smell the crowded area of all the people that are around Jesus. It's a packed house. with folks surrounding Jesus. Then you hear Jesus preaching and sharing stories. Then all of a sudden you hear the sound of the roof being pulled away, breaking apart. And you see the face and body of a paralytic as he's lowered by his four friends in front of the crowd. And then you see the reactions of the scribes as the paralytic is forgiven, healed by Jesus, and stands up and walks out with his mat. The story invites us to think about a mix of things, from healing, forgiveness, do we ever feel that our lives are paralyzed, stuck? Maybe our parenting, or how our family's going, sometimes trapped by something or a relationship, or maybe it's the uncertainty of an unknown thing, whether it's a job or career. But what caught my attention in the story is the actions of the four friends. This was a story that we did in church school a few weeks back. And it's some confronting questions. Will we take risks on behalf of our friends, just like the four friends did as they had him on a mat, seeing that it was crowded, doing what they could to take him up on the roof, open up the roof, and lower him down? Will we do what we can to enable others, to enable young people here at church to move from impossible to possible? Will we be the compassionate, healing faith community that encourages active participation of everyone within this congregation? Not just the familiar folks that we see on Sunday, not the children every once in a while, but everyone participating. Friends, perhaps it's the four friends of the paralytic, and we ourselves need Christ's healing touch. Emma trying to wash dishes is still fresh in my mind. Still having rejected her and turned her away from washing, soaping, propping her up on a stool. But something hit me as I was thinking about it, actually as I was listening to NPR this week. It was a story of two different cultures' ways of handling children's participation and integration into chores. It was an interesting story on NPR. It is a study of different cultures. The first culture was in the U.S., upper white middle class culture. And it's a culture of parents paying their children or rewarding them an incentive base to have them participate in chores, and also at an older age. But what was interesting was the study of culture in Mexico, in areas of Mexico, and how they deal and live with the lifestyle of chores with their children and integrating them. It wasn't an incentive-based type of reward type of a thing, but it was really a culture of a parent inviting a child and saying to that child, come, watch me. Come, watch what I do. Come here, see how I'm doing it at a very young age. children and young people want to participate and be involved, not only in church, but in everything that we do, that adults are doing. And I think there's even truth to that. Even as we get older, move beyond our youth into adulthood, that we want to learn from the wisdom of our elders. As we continue to grow as a church, as more families continue to come, as we integrate children and families into different areas of the church, we have to be inviting. We have to be a community and village that welcomes all people. We too have to be a community that says, come, watch my child, watch what I do, see how I'm doing it. As we continue to teach our children, youth, and families how to love God and love others more. Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for this moment of worship that we could receive and learn more about you. God, help us to be attentive, to be more attentive to all people around us, our children, our youth, our young people who desire to participate in church and in what we do. We ask, O God, for your guidance and your direction in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.